may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we have the phone lines open. You can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you this afternoon. And let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer here today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray that you bless the program, help us to point people to Christ, and help us to be a witness and testimony for you. We just thank you for the opportunity. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good to talk with you again this afternoon, and we're coming into an exciting time of the year. You know, for a born-again believer, it's hard to say sometimes what the most significant of the holidays that we celebrate. Is it Christmas time, where we celebrate the birth of Christ, or is it Easter time, or we celebrate the resurrection of Christ? And so we're going to be touching on some of that here a little bit, but certainly if it's not the most exciting time for a believer, it's certainly one of the two most exciting times. And one would argue it's the most exciting time because we are remembering what Jesus did as he willingly allowed himself to be crucified and to shed his blood to pay for our sins, and then to die on the cross, and then to be buried and rise again the third day, victorious over sin and death. And if that didn't happen, the Apostle Paul is quite clear over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just to show how central this is, how important the resurrection of Christ is. And really, we should say the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ according to the Scriptures, as is outlined for us in 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, he basically said that in verse 14, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Verse 15, he says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not, if so be that the dead rise not. And he continues, and he says, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. And that's how important this idea of the resurrection is. This cannot be given up. This is a fundamental of the faith. This is an essential element of biblical Christianity. There are some people that believe that the resurrection is not that important. It's just the fact that Jesus was here and that God loves us. That's what's important. No, the resurrection is so important. Paul said here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32, if after the manner of men I fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. He said if there's no resurrection, and that means the resurrection of Christ, as well as the resurrection that believers will have if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you arise in the likeness of his resurrection to be caught up with the Lord in the air. He says, if that doesn't happen, if that didn't happen, well, forget it. We might as well eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die, and that's it. There's nothing else. That's how central the Apostle Paul thought the resurrection was toward biblical Christianity. Well, if you got a call, give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we have Fran calling in here this afternoon. Fran, welcome to the program.
I'm calling about, when the Ezekiel 38 and 39 about Russia coming into the from the Black Sea area and Ukraine, of course, into the Mediterranean, go to. Is that the route they're going to take to go straight through to how close are they to Israel from Russia?
Not sure the exact distances, but as Russia has taken control of Crimea, remember they annexed that last year,
right?
From the Ukraine, that gives them access from, and I'm going to try and test my geography here, I believe it's the Black Sea down into, you get down into the Crimean, the Crimean Peninsula, and then you come down the next step before the Mediterranean is going through where Constantinople is. There's a strait there, and I'm trying to think of the name of that strait there right now, but it's the Bosphorus, I think it is. And that goes between, I want to say the Crimea Sea. I don't have a map in front of me, but anyway, that leads into the Aegean Sea, I believe it is, which is where Greece has a lot of islands, on the eastern side going over toward Turkey. There's a lot of islands in that area there. And by Russia controlling the Crimean Peninsula, they have access down to the strait there at Constantinople, which gives them access down into the Aegean and into the Mediterranean Sea. So their sea access, their water access is much greater. And then, of course, the Asian state of Georgia there, as well as Armenia and what else is in there? Azerbaijan, places like that. Those places all used to be former parts of the Soviet Union, and they come down right to where Turkey is, and then, of course, Kazakhstan there, which used to be a Russian Soviet state. That gives you access into where Afghanistan, all that is. But what I'm saying is you're getting down very close into that area, and they're separated from Israel by Turkey on land, by Turkey and Syria, essentially. So you can see where they're pretty close in that distance-wise. But they're building up forces, and people talk about the Ezekiel 38 invasion of Israel, and I believe that's yet future. And in my personal opinion is I think that that'll probably take place at around about the time of the rapture, if not maybe in the very beginning after the rapture, maybe the very beginning of the tribulation period, the 7-year tribulation period, because there's a previous an earlier invasion that's going to come, or an attack. I believe it's a coming Arab-Israeli nuclear war, and I believe that's shaping up right now too, where Israel is going to be forced to defend itself using its nuclear arsenal. Now you were asking about Russia and the Ukraine a little bit too, right? Well, I think we've lost Fran there. And if you want to give us a call, 888-677-9673, and Fran had been asking about that part of the world, and really it is very important because we do see Russia growing in strength, and after the Cold War and the Soviet Union broke up, they were trying to hang on there for a little bit, but in recent years under Putin, they really have been beefing up their military and trying to restore some sense of their former empire, as it were. But something that I think is very interesting, and you look in Psalm 83, and just kind of piggybacking on Fran's question there about Russia and the Ezekiel 38 situation, in Psalm 83 we see an alliance of nations that are dedicated to the destruction of Israel. In Psalm 83, it actually uses the language in verse 4 where it says, they've said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And you could just about take that phrase right out of the Hamas charter or the Hezbollah charter. And the nations that are given there in Psalm 83, and I just for time's sake want to just touch on this real close or quickly. We have the nations around Israel, such as in Syria, what would be the Islamic State, some of the area that they're covering in Iran and Syria and elsewhere, Jordan, the Gaza Strip, places like that. And these nations, the Bible said, are going to be destroyed in verse number 14, as the fire burneth a wood and as the flames set at the mountains on fire. And so there's some evidence that these nations are going to be destroyed in some kind of fiery attack that suggests a nuclear exchange. Take, for example, Damascus, which would symbolize Syria in Isaiah chapter 17. It says in verse 1, the burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. And toward the end of the chapter, actually the last verse of the chapter, it says, and behold, at evening tide trouble, and before morning he is not. This is a portion of them that spoil us and a lot of them that rob us, suggesting that Damascus would be destroyed in one night. And, you know, sending in ground troops or sending in air power, it's not going to destroy the city in one night. In the evening, it's not going to disappear so that by morning it's not, unless there were nuclear weapons involved. And, of course, in that same thing or that same vein, we have the destruction of Babylon and in Isaiah chapter 13 here. And there's some suggestion that it's fiery destruction, because in chapter Isaiah chapter 13, verse 19, it says, in Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their field there. But the wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, et cetera, et cetera. But what it's suggesting there is some kind of nuclear devastation, because this has not happened in the past. The area of Babylon there, I believe, is largely being taken up by the Islamic State today. And they're dedicated to the destruction of Israel. They want to depose the monarchy in Jordan, Hashemite monarchy, so that they can take over Jordan, so that they can drive into Jerusalem itself. And there's all of these efforts, all these groups that are identified in the Bible that want to destroy the nation of Israel. And of course, it's interesting, in 1948, that's the name that they chose for themselves, Israel, not Judah or something else. In fact, people didn't know exactly what the name of the new state was going to be. President Truman, who was the first world leader to recognize them as a new state, he had a telegram already printed out, and when he found out it was the name of Israel, he actually penciled out the Jewish state and wrote in this Israel over top of it. And so we have the Bible once again keeping up with modern times here. But it's interesting, because there was a meeting just recently here, and I'm not sure the exact dates here, but I think it's just in the past couple of days. I'm trying to see if I can see something on it right here. But the Pakistanis, the Saudi Arabians, the Egyptians, the Turks, the Jordanians, and all of that, and some other groups have all decided to band together because of the threat of Iran. And one of the things that I heard, if you've ever listened to Oliver North, commentator on Fox Network, former top U.S. intelligence officer, various things, a very stellar career, he said of this meeting that one of the things that was talked about at this meeting is that if Iran gets a nuclear bomb, and they've said repeatedly that they believe their destiny is to destroy the Jewish state, and if they get the nuclear bomb, they also want to take possession of Mecca, Medina. Iran is Sunni, or I'm sorry, Shiite, and Saudi Arabia is Sunni, and they want to destroy Saudi Arabia, replace the Saudis with a Shiite government, much like they're doing in Yemen right now. And meeting here, I guess, with Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Egyptian officials, Turkish officials, and others, is that if Iran gets the bomb, that Pakistan would distribute nuclear weapons to these Sunni Muslim states in order to be a counterbalance to the Iranian Shiite Muslim state with its nuclear weapons. And part of the reason for that is because they no longer view the United States as being an agent that's going to endeavor to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. And this is interesting because previously we've talked about on this program and our Sunday night program that Saudi Arabia apparently helped fund the Pakistani nuclear bomb. And that one of the things that was suggested is that the deal was that there was some things in Pakistan, some weapons in Pakistan that Saudi Arabia could claim if they needed to. And so the Saudis are really afraid of Iran getting a nuclear weapon because they believe that Iran wants to establish a footprint in the Middle East and specifically where Saudi Arabia is, so that they can control Mecca and Medina. And you can see how that would tie in with Ezekiel 38 as well, where the Iranians would certainly cooperate with any effort that would allow them to get into the Middle East and possibly control Mecca and Medina eventually there. But we need to pray for what's going on in the world today. There's a lot of things happening in the Middle East, and there are some people fearful that since many of the countries of the Middle East are writing off America as being somebody that's looking out for their interest or being able to control them, or control the Iranians, restrain the Iranians, that they're going to take matters in their own hands. So pray for the Middle East. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the Bible says. The biggest thing you can do is make sure that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. 888-677-9673 is our number, and you can call us toll-free. And we have Claudia calling in here this afternoon. And Claudia, welcome to the program today.
Yes, sir. Pastor Al, I just want to thank you for all your knowledge and all your ability to put this out so we can learn.
Well, thank you.
And I want to ask you to please continue to continue to give us knowledge. And I was just wondering why you thought, why do so many countries dislike Israel?
Well, I think the root of it is satanic, literally. And just kind of an overview of Bible history, if you think about it.
Uh-huh.
The Bible prophesied when God called Abraham,
yes,
that he said in him, in his seed, basically, all the nations of the world would be blessed.
Yes.
And so there was efforts to try to destroy Abraham and prevent him from having a son. And remember, even Abraham and Sarah grew discouraged. And
yes,
at one point, he thought Lot was going to be the inheritor. And then I believe it was a guy by the name of Eleazar, a Syrian,
yes,
that was his
servant.
His servant. And then of course, there was the affair where Hagar, the servant of Sarah, was,
yeah,
allowed to bear his son, so that it would be as if it was Abraham's son or Sarah's son.
Yeah.
And so then, of course, they thought that was the way it would be, and of course, that was accepted in their culture of the day, but it wasn't,
yes,
God's plan. And,
yes,
so God opened Sarah's womb, and in her old age, beyond,
yes,
childbearing age,
yes,
as she bore Isaac. And then, of course, there was rivalry between Isaac and Sarah, or I'm sorry, Isaac and Ishmael.
Yes.
Ishmael, I believe, mocked him, the Bible talks about. And I'm going through this quickly for time's sake.
Yes.
And Sarah was adamant that Abraham get rid of Hagar. And they gave her her freedom,
yes,
and the end result of that in the culture of the day, under the code of Hammurabi and a couple other things that were operating in that day, that meant that Ishmael lost his claim as the firstborn of Abraham.
And
he no longer,
okay,
had the inheritance.
I see.
So the inheritance legally passed to Isaac, which is what God intended in the first place.
Yes.
Yeah, and then, of course, Isaac later had two children, fraternal twins, Esau and Jacob. Esau being the firstborn, one would have thought that would have been where the promise went to, but the promise went to Isaac and his descendants. Jacob and his descendants. Jacob then, of course, had the 12 sons, which became the 12 tribes of Israel. And all along the way, the devil tried to destroy them, tried to prevent these things from happening. And then, of course, God confirmed that the Savior, the Messiah, would come from a descendant of Jacob, and then through the descendant of Judah. And then down the line, a descendant of David. And all along the line, there was attacks, even up until the time that Jesus was born. Remember, Herod tried to kill all the babies that were born in Bethlehem, the boys 2 years and under. That was an attempt to destroy the Savior.
Okay.
And so I believe that it's a satanic hatred of the Jewish people, because those are the people that God chose, one, to bring his law into the world. Remember Moses and the law?
Yes.
And his word into the world. It's the Jewish people that gave us the Old Testament and much of the New Testament.
Yes.
And then, of course, it's the Jewish people that gave us the Savior, the Messiah. Jesus Christ was born of a Jewish young woman, Mary.
That's correct.
And so all along the line, you can see this satanic hatred of the Jewish people. And, of course, there's prophecy in the Bible relating to the Jewish people yet to be fulfilled in the first place. And if the devil can keep Bible prophecy from being fulfilled, I think he thinks that he's going to destroy God.
Then he will just,
a lot of Christians, unfortunately, or people who at least consider themselves Christians, have bought into the satanic lie that the church has replaced Israel, that the Jewish people crucified Christ, they rejected their Messiah, and God washed his hands of them.
Okay.
Well, if that were true, then much of the Bible we can just dispense with, because in Romans chapter, 11, it says that all of Israel will become saved one day.
Oh.
And see, the devil is constantly trying to destroy Israel. Okay. Israel was given that land, and they will inhabit that land, and they will rebuild the temple in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount yet in the future.
Okay.
And if the devil can keep these things from coming to pass, you know, you have to pity the devil in a sense. Because
you do. Because what kind of person thinks they can destroy their creator?
Exactly. And he knows he's doomed to fail, because he's not succeeded at anything so far.
Yeah.
He's been prevented all along the line, and even when he thought he had a success, he found out that it actually turned against him.
Yeah, that's correct.
You know, he tried to keep Christ from being born, then he was born, and in the result of it, they were forced to flee to Egypt.
Yes.
And then the devil finds out, well, he just fulfilled Bible prophecy.
Well, huh?
He was called out of Egypt.
That's right.
And on and on and on.
And on, you're right.
And then finally getting the Jesus crucified, I'm sure the devil thought, ha, I've done it. I've destroyed him.
Okay, yeah.
And you wonder sometimes, you know, what goes through his mind when he thinks that he can thwart God's will.
That's correct.
When he knows God better than any of us do.
Exactly, you know.
But
oh, my gosh. Well, I just want to thank you, and thank you for helping me understand that.
Yeah.
And have a blessed day, Pastor.
Well, thank you. You have a great week.
Thank you.
God bless you
as well.
Appreciate
thank
that
you.
Call.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And, you know, we need to consider that. The devil cannot destroy God, so he's trying to get God to mess up in some way, and he's not going to be successful. But at the same time, as I said, he's a pitiful being in the sense that he's doomed to failure. He knows it. We know it. God knows it. And yet, what can he do? Because he's beyond hope of redemption. One day, he will bow and say that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. But he's going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. You know, the sad thing is, there's a lot of people who are going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. And they're not beyond the hope of redemption right now. Because if you will trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you'll confess that you've sinned, you know, we deserve hell. We really do. We deserve the lake of fire for all eternity. We've sinned and come short of God's glory. We've broken his law. But God loved us so much, the Bible says that he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to shed his blood to pay for our sins. And if we're willing to turn from our sin and embrace Christ as our Savior, the Bible says we can be born again. And we don't have to go in the lake of fire. We can be with him. in heaven for all eternity with him. We're out of time. God bless. Join us again next time.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program.